Hey, this is Laura.
And Steven.
And this is our podcast, Midday Musings, where we take our lunch break to talk about the things that are on our mind. Today, we're naming our favorite apocalypse. Do you want to try your survival skills in a zombie apocalypse, a climate collapse, an alien invasion, a nuclear wasteland, or a pandemic post-civilization? We'll share ours, and we hope you'll share yours. Let's get into it. Hello, Steven.
Hello.
I
am good. I'm whispery.
I see.
Yes.
I'm also whispery.
Yes. It's a whimsical whisper it is today.
A whimsical whisper.
A whimsical Excellent. Whisper. Yes. Yes.
So How are apart you doing? From your, I'm good. I'm great. It has been a good week for me in terms of content and creation and fallout.
Oh my gosh, right.
Yeah.
So much fallout.
Yeah, so much fallout. A lot of people are being introduced to Fallout for the first time, people who haven't played the games, but they're cycling in. So the internet is aflame with Fallout interest. And we obviously did a podcast about this mere days ago.
Yeah.
Possibly even day.
Possibly even
Possibly
a day.
Possibly even day. It's time is a construct. Before calendars, did it exist?
Time's a flat circle.
Talk to me about that.
No.
All right then.
No, but yeah, like we covered Fallout, and you know what it's got me thinking about, Laura?
What has it got you thinking about, Steven?
Having talked about Fallout and playing it a bunch recently, it's honestly all I'm doing in my spare time these days. It's got me thinking about other post-apocalyptic worlds
and the apocalypse.
Yeah, the apocalypse and what happens afterwards and which of them are better or worse than the others, you know?
I mean, you know you have a ready ear when you bring up the apocalypse because apocalypse literature is probably my favorite thing.
Right? Oh, I love apocalypse literature, whether it's zombies, whether it's nuclear war, like apocalypse literature and media. Zombies, nuclear war.
Climate change.
Climate change, alien invasion.
Mm-hmm.
Pandemics.
Yeah, there are so many apocalypses to choose from. Please continue. You seem to have a list.
I do, actually. Yeah, so we mentioned nuclear war,
mm-hmm.
zombies, alien invasion, pandemics and viruses, but a couple others that didn't come to mind for me immediately are EMP. Basically,
oh, so electromagnetic pulse,
yeah.
All of the electric devices go boom.
And everything goes back to the Stone Age. So none of our electronics work anymore. Also, natural disaster. You know, that's an interesting one.
Oh, yeah. We've had a lot of apocalypses related to natural disaster. Just ask the dinosaurs.
Right? also, climate change. That's a good one. That feels kind of like natural disaster, but like a gradual one over time.
It's a lot of natural disasters at once. A chain reaction, if you will, of ecosystems failing.
A mega
Actually,
natural disaster.
Oh yeah, probably my favorite apocalypse series does include climate change as the disaster that precedes the creation of this.
That's Hunger Games, isn't it?
That is Hunger Games.
That's
How did you know?
Because
was there a twinkle in my eye?
There was
said,
a twinkle in your eye. I heard a Mockingjay sing in the background when you were looking off into the distance.
Oh yes, Pan Am.
Right.
A post-climate change America is what Pan Am is placed in, and it is a delight.
Right? It really is. You know, we don't talk a lot about the climate change within Pan Am because they're more worried about kids being killed in the arenas.
Yeah, they're more interested in the autocratic government that is sacrificing children on a yearly basis.
Oh, it's very subtle. You just know it if you look at the map of Pan Am, which is the former United States of America, and notice that a good 30% of it is just underwater.
Yeah, you're like, oh, that coastline is a lot closer than it should be.
I think California's gone, Florida's gone. It's just all underwater. And
District 12 is actually in the Appalachian Mountains.
Yeah.
One thing that I really do like about Pan Am, though, is that it has incorporated what is left of Mexico into the larger Pan Am bucket.
Oh, nice. I didn't know that.
No, it's true. If I had the map with me, I would show you. But you couldn't see it, listeners.
No.
Just go online and look at like map of Pan Am, and then they'll have it cut out into districts. And if you have a basic understanding of North American geography, you'll very quickly pick out where these things are. Anyway, it's great. It's good stuff.
Yeah, I believe it. There are just a lot of good post-apocalyptic worlds to choose from.
I mean, Fallout is one of the best. Nuclear Fallout, you have not just like the Wild West quality that that a lot of apocalypses will bring you, but like the irradiated stuff too. So there's a space for quirky, fantastical creatures as well.
That's true. I enjoy exploring it in my spare time, like on the game, but I don't know that I would want to live in a nuclear apocalypse because the thing is, everything is trying to kill you, even the air, even the water, even the food you eat. I didn't realize until I'd eaten a couple of like food items in the Fallout game or remember it, but apparently most of the food that's out in the wasteland is irradiated. So the food is even trying to kill you. You drink the water from random places, it's irradiated. The water is trying to kill you. And then eventually you'll turn into a ghoul because you'll just get too irradiated. So I like it in theory, but if I had to pick, I think I'd pick a different one to live in.
Oh, absolutely. It's just the best argument for nuclear disarmament I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah.
And like, for that reason, everyone should play it.
Right?
I've also, over the last couple of months, read two apocalypse novels that I thought were just great. The first one was Severance by Ling Ma. And it takes place in an apocalypse that's disease-oriented. Mm-hmm. So there's this fungal disease that takes like 4 months to kill you. And it turns you into the fevered, right? Mm. So what the fevered do is they just continuously go through actions and habits that they had when they were alive, mm-hmm. just without any executive functioning at all. And slowly but surely, like they desiccate to death. It's an apocalypse that went on over a long period of time. It took like 6 months for everything to shut down. And it's not a super duper aggressive apocalypse. There's a quietness to it that's really fun. Mm-hmm. And a lot of interesting elements of memory and nostalgia are talked about because the fevered are particularly sensitive to places that they've been. Mm-hmm. So it can trigger a diseased reaction if you like go back to your house or go to a mall that you went to a lot as like a child. And our protagonist is unique in so much as she doesn't have living family and she's a first generation immigrant. So like the rest of her family is way on the other side of the Pacific Ocean. So she has no nostalgic ties, which is one of the reasons she survived so long. It is a hauntingly beautiful book and very easy to read through. Highly recommend. It has a lot of interesting things to say about like global supply chains. So that's one apocalypse that's great.
On Severance, I haven't read it, but I love the idea of the fevered because I feel like I know some people who are kind of stuck in those loops. Like they've been doing the same thing for 40 years and they keep doing that same thing, even though it is literally killing them. It's like if the member berries from South Park cause the cordyceps from The Last of Us. I think it's delightful. I love that.
Oh yeah, it's really great. And it's such excellent literary fiction because it has so much intellectual density around the idea of memory and loops and habits. It's a meditative text and I got it from the library because support your local library, but I'm probably ultimately going to buy it because I'd love to reread it.
Totally fair. That got me thinking about another type of post-apocalyptic world. And it's one you don't get to see as much play of, and that's Alien Invasion.
Oh, yeah. I actually can't think of off the top of my head an Alien Invasion piece of media that led to an apocalypse. Are you going to
So
broaden my horizons?
Two that come to mind, District 12.
Yeah, but that's not an apocalypse.
Well, no, but aliens kind of control the world, I believe.
No, and, like, it's the opposite. Aliens are cordoned off into this ghetto in South Africa.
Oh, right. Never mind. I got it backwards. No, disregard that. That one is not a good example, but one that is a good example, the book Cold People.
Okay, yeah.
Because that is an alien invasion. Basically, the aliens come to Earth and they issue an ultimatum to people. They say, go to Antarctica or you will all die. And those who make it to Antarctica survive, and those who don't all die. So they make good on their promise. And then it's about surviving in the wasteland of Antarctica with very little technology, very little anything, post-alien invasion. It's worth noting that the aliens don't ever come back. They're just sort of these mysterious figures that did this thing this one time and caused humanity to have to escape to Antarctica and live there. I wouldn't particularly want to live in Antarctica. It's way too cold. However, I could be okay of the available apocalypses to have a world where aliens are around and we're kind of a colonized humanity. And I'll tell you why.
Okay.
Because you would get alien tech. You would be colonized by aliens or decimated by aliens, but you now have access to alien tech. And you know aliens exist. We have confirmation that we are not the only planet with life, with sentient life in the universe. So even though it sucks that the bad one found us, that means that other ones exist out there, probably, that wouldn't want to kill us. You now have a more broad worldview that entails the entire galaxy.
Even though you are completely isolated in Antarctica, the least hospitable of least hospitable of Earth's regions.
No, no, no. Like I said, I wouldn't want to live in Antarctica. I'm taking that scenario, but moving it somewhere else. Just aliens have colonized the planet, and I'm living here in the Pacific Northwest, and that I could live with.
Okay. Echoing the sentiments of many colonized peoples past, I would not like to be colonized by an alien race. That would be bad news, in my opinion. But I do enjoy Station Eleven's apocalypse. So it's another illness-based apocalypse where you have a flu-like virus that will kill you in 24 to 48 hours. And then essentially you're done. If you haven't been exposed to this illness at that point, or if you're resistant to it, fantastic, amazing. Now you're in survivor space. And the survival scenario for this apocalypse is very similar to like the Wild West. So you have little settlements stationed around the United States, and people walk them and like travel, and you know, couriers, there's trade, et cetera, et cetera.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And the people that we follow are people called the Traveling Symphony. So it is a theater troupe doing Shakespeare work. Not dissimilar to the traveling theater troops that went around during the Wild West. That works for me. The people in general are pretty chill. Like, there wasn't a war or a scramble for resources. So the problem is there are some cults, which will happen in apocalypse times. It happens right now. We have cults already.
Right?
So you're familiar with the vibe of cults, and if you encounter them, you can usually identify and escape them. But broadly speaking, that's a pretty reasonable apocalypse to live in. You find something you're good at, you're a tradesman, you're a performer, you move from town to town. Sounds great.
You know what? That doesn't sound too bad. And in this world, in Station 11, there is no ongoing plague, right? Like, it killed everyone. There's like 2% of the population left, and the plague is gone.
Yeah, basically. It's kind of like The Stand. Everyone, like, ducked out, and the people left over, they're either immune or they will never be in contact with the people who have it because they have all perished.
I mean, that's not too bad. That's not too bad.
Okay, so, broadly speaking, I think a plague-based apocalypse is the preferable one.
That is fair. That is fair. I was thinking in an ongoing plague, that would, I would not a fan. Like The Last of Us, I loved playing in that world, but again, a world where there is an ongoing plague that is, that you can still be infected with at any point in time. If you're bit, if you inhale spores, now you're going to become a zombie too. That's a dangerous, dangerous world because you're not just fighting other people for survival, but you're fighting the ongoing plague that is still determined to kill humanity. But Station 11, the world sounds fine. You're not really fighting anything else besides other people and just surviving.
You're fighting the problem of a lack of centralized authority.
Yeah, yeah.
Which some people would actually like. Like, libertarians would love that environment.
Right? They'd be like, oh, it's just me.
They'd be like, no centralized authority. I'm just going to homestead over here.
That kind of feels like, again, it feels like the Old West, like the Fallout world, where it's just you and your wits and maybe your gun and like your two chickens and you're just trying to survive, doing the best you can.
It's like the Bronze Age collapse or the Roman collapse in Europe too. You're just like, there's no centralized authority. There's jockeying for position, but it's not a bunch of aliens pushing you into the Antarctic.
Yeah. And to be fair, The Last of Us is not actually a pandemic world. It's a zombie world that is caused by a pandemic. So that's different. That's double.
Yeah,
that's
double like zombie pandemic. Apocalypses sound like the worst. They are the ones that I would like to avoid the most.
Right.
I mean, well, zombie apocalypses or nuclear holocausts. Mm. Those are my least favorite apocalypses to experience personally.
Oh, yeah, they're real bad. So there's one on here that we actually haven't talked about and one I haven't thought about before for a while. Religious rapture as an apocalypse, right? So in this particular scenario, it assumes that the Christians were right and or whatever religion was right, and they're the and they ascend into heaven or whatever otherworldly place they go to, and everyone else is just kind of left behind. There was a game I played which kind of toyed with that topic. Mm-hmm. Everyone's gone to the rapture where you're just wandering around a world and you're the only one there. There's literally no one else around. And it's not clear at the point I got to in the game whether or not you're actually in a religious rapture situation or people have just disappeared due to a plague or an alien invasion. But I think it's fun to play with that apocalypse type as well because I don't, it doesn't get as much play, to be honest.
Yeah, the setup for The Leftovers, that TV series, that I believe is not specifically a religious rapture, but suddenly a bunch of people are gone.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And you're and like, why? How?
The people who remain are the leftovers. That seems like a pretty manageable apocalypse, right? Like, that's after Thanos' snap. Yeah. And, I mean, Marvel has led me to believe that the world goes on after half of the population just disappears.
That's true, because you still have your technology. You're not being colonized by aliens, and there's not a deadly plague about to kill you either. So that's kind of chill. Like, maybe I wouldn't mind being left behind.
Just like a gray cloud of grief, but that's manageable. That's logistically manageable. Right. I just popped open a book called A Psalm for the Wild Built by Becky Chambers that takes place in a pseudo-apocalypse. It's just a post-industrial world. Like, humans made a bunch of robots and robots replaced humans in terms of all jobs. Mm-hmm. And then the robots woke up and they're like, we would like to leave. And humans were like, I guess that's fine. And so it's kind of like a very chill. Like it's a pretty relaxed post-apocalypse. It's a degrowth movement, I would say.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So this is very like eco-punk, solar punk. The wilderness is most of the world. There's like one city in all of the leftover world. And the robots are out in the wilderness learning about what life looks like without design, because all they had ever known was things that were human designed. Fun, philosophical. Anyway, it's a book about a monk and a robot.
Oh, I like that.
It's cute. It's very cute.
You know, one scenario that wasn't discussed in this that I do want to bring up, robot post-apocalypse. Okay, so it's The Matrix, basically.
Okay, The Matrix or Terminator.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So like not necessarily in the pods, but like robots have taken over the world.
Okay, so Terminator.
Yeah, Terminator. And you have to survive. You have to figure out how to get through it. I think that's because I love robots. I feel like I could make that work, you know?
You're like, my love of the robot will lead to the robo love of me.
Yes, because robots totally understand love and affection.
Robots feel love.
They respond to it 100%.
Yes, we designed them that way, right? I'm sure.
No, but like, I just think that's an interesting world to maneuver. Would I want to live in it? I don't know, but I
am not John Henry enough to try and beat a robot at a railroad contest slash survival contest.
I think they're going to win most times.
They're just so powerful.
I know, but if I had to, it's not one of the worst versions of reality, of like post-apocalyptic world, in my opinion.
No, yeah, like Fallout is the worst version, right?
Yeah.
Fallout or like 28 days later.
Yeah, because the robots are going to be optimizing everything, including you, whether you like to or not. I would assume they're going to be like, we must maintain maximum efficiency. And so you're going to have some robot parts and there's going to be everything is streamlined, but you're also going to be exhausted because you're a human trying to keep up with robots, which I feel like we're kind of trying to do anyway. Like all of our technology demands, because we're available all the time, it demands that we are also available all the time and are able to keep up with that pace. So I feel like we're already kind of John Henrying at the world, to be honest.
Yeah, but you remember how that story ends.
Yeah, it's true. Oh, poor John Henry. Oh, no.
Poor us.
Okay. briefly back to the alien scenario. Again, yes. Totally hypothetical. The reason why I'm into that is because, again, the whimsy of knowing that aliens exist. Two, they are, I assume they're like humanoid-esque. Like they have physical bodies that can be defeated, that can be overcome.
Yeah, you can War of the Worlds them. Just yeah. Like throw water at them and yeah. Be like, ah, you're dead now.
And assuming this is an isolated incident. Uh-huh. Then you have, number one, come together as a world and defeated an alien invasion. Two, now you have access to alien technology. And three, you know that aliens exist.
What I mean, make no mistake, I love an alien movie, particularly when it is in the vein of like Signs, War of the Worlds, Independence Day.
Independence Day, ooh.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
A classic.
So good.
Still so incredible. Oh, that speech. Yeah. Anyway.
Which they reference in Station 11.
Which they do reference yeah. In the miniseries Station 11, mm-hmm. Though not in the book.
Mm, gotcha.
But, I won't fangirl out about it, but there were a solid 2 months of my life where in a desire to self-motivate, I would open my morning with watching that speech alongside the Charlie Chaplin speech.
Yeah. The great speeches.
Yeah, two great speeches, and it'll put some coffee in your cup. I love the whole uniting humanity around a common threat thing.
Right?
That's incredible. But I do not like an apocalypse based on aliens because no one is coming to save us.
No. It could suck, but it is overcomable.
Yeah, but we have home team advantage.
Yeah,
we have
right?
Weird microbes they've never seen.
Right?
We're squirrely.
What if they get sick from us? What if, like, we have some microbes they've never seen and they get incredibly sick and die?
Yeah, we've been domesticating animals for a long time. Right? And that's, like, the key thing in creating particularly virulent viruses.
So I'm just saying, I think we'd have a fighting chance. And I am also a huge fan of people coming together for a common cause. You know, uniting the planet under one banner of GTFO aliens.
Okay, yeah. So yeah. We have our favorite apocalypses. Yeah. I prefer disease apocalypses, like a nice pandemic apocalypse. And you, for some reason, want to be colonized by aliens.
Well, the thing is that in that scenario, again, the world hasn't been torn apart. The aliens are just in control of everything. So if you can, in the short term, get rid of the aliens, now you have access to your resources again, as well as the alien resources. That's assuming they haven't, like, destroyed everything. I'm making a lot of assumptions here.
Yeah, you are hoping for, at best, a British colonial experience.
Kinda, yeah.
Like, maybe they'll set up some train lines. It'll be great.
Okay, my secret is I really just love robots and also aliens. So that's why I just wanted to talk about robots and aliens. That's all.
This was all a ruse.
It was.
All right. Well, guys, thanks for hanging out with us. Yeah,
thanks for chilling, y'all.
Yeah. And drop in the comments your favorite type of apocalypse.
Yeah. Let us know. All right, folks. Catch you on the next lunch break.
Bye.
Bye. This has been Steven.
And Laura.
Thanks for tuning into Midday Musings, the podcast where we talk about all the things on our mind. Be sure to follow us on Spotify and jump into the conversation in our polls and Q&As. We would love to hear from you. Catch you next lunch break.